This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this beautiful Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it's going to be a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I feel like, yeah, winter just went, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, we have officially entered March already.
I know,
and
it's
we've
the
got
second.
Very little snow. And the things I was kind of seeing about all of that stuff is, I think like half a dozen times in like the last 80 years, we've had measurable snow in March. So it doesn't look good in getting a snowpack.
I don't know. We're coming in like a lamb, which means we go out like a lion.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, we're literally the average for 60 degree days in the month of March is about 8. And we are entering our second today already.
Yeah, high of 61. So
it's going to be an interesting month, which I think is going to dictate a whole lot of what we are going to see throughout the rest of spring and summer in terms of dryness here in Oregon.
Yeah, interesting. I was scrolling through content. I saw a story in Idaho. They are doing, yesterday was a day of fasting and prayer for snow. Which I thought was amazing. It's like, because, yeah, when I was doing a lot of driving yesterday, and, you know, Mount Hood, of course, was totally snow covered and absolutely beautiful and looked gorgeous. But a lot of the other mountains that should have a lot of snow on them are looking decidedly a little naked. So,
yeah. And of course, even with Mount Hood and the other mountains, it's like, yeah, they look gorgeous, you know, covered in snow, but where they should be, you know, around like, you know, 10 to 12 feet of snow, they're sitting at about 6. So,
yeah, it's like the East Coast got all the snow this year. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Like if we do, we're coming in like a line. Again, it is March 2nd. I do want to note, too, yesterday, gosh, this made me sad because I remember exactly where I was when I heard this. It's been 14 years since we lost Andrew Breitbart. His book, Righteous Indignation, was a life-changing book. And I know so many people that kind of got started in this business. And he really got a lot of people really reframing on how you deal with the left. I mean, he was notoriously famous, not notorious, but famous for how he dealt with Anthony Weiner, if you remember all of that, and the, you know, the icky pictures that Anthony Weiner was sending. So he is missed every day, but we are all Breitbart.
Well, yeah, so. And I just, it's almost like every day there's a new, you know, group of things that left is going cogwild about that you have to sit there and go, okay, let's really think about your position before you make too much of a spectacle.
Well, and we're seeing a lot of people who are doing, which Breitbart, you know, was known for, reject the premise. Don't let them frame the debate. Because number one, the left, progressive, communist, Marxist are always on the wrong side of issues. Case in point, what we have been watching this weekend, holy cow, we're not going to spend tons of time on this. Our national guys have been all over this. But of course, what's happening in Iran right now is stunning and amazing. There's a lot of, it's interesting to see the takes from a lot of pundits on the right. Some of them are skeptical, and I think it's always right to be skeptical about anything that government does, regardless whether it's your guy in the office or not. So there's some, you know, Matt Walsh in particular is being cautious and saying, oh, so now we're doing the thing where what I've been saying for 10 years is now suddenly controversial. So it's interesting to see sort of the ins and outs and the going back and forth with people on this, because the takes are very different. Portland, of course. What I think is great is that a lot of Iranian Americans have been out in the streets, absolutely jubilant, doing the Trump dance, publicly praising Trump, President Trump, the United States, and Israel for the Ayatollah is gone. He's in the fiery place.
Yeah, and that's the thing is turning on the news this morning and seeing that there was a massive celebration right there in downtown Portland.
In Portland.
From Iranian Americans celebrating the removal of the Iranian regime and these
An
attacks.
Actual dictator.
And seeing that perspective. And then, of course, they flip right over to say, this is very different than what the rally was Saturday in the same place of a bunch of anti-American, pro-Iran, anti-war, you know, people telling us that we are fully wrong for bombing Iran and removing their regime and this and that. and a lot of pale faces compared to the Iranian celebration the next day.
Well, the women in Iran are casting off the burqas, lighting up their Marlboros and having a swig of beer and celebrating actual freedom after 47 years. I'm old enough to remember when all this started. Thank you, Jimmy Carter, with the Shah of Iran and all of that and the hostage situation, that whole thing. And so these women are celebrating their freedom. Of course, that iconic image of the woman with the cigarette lighting the photo of the Ayatollah. And you've got these ridiculous awfuls.
Mm-hmm.
Doing just the opposite. I want to share a quote. One of the guys I follow him online, Officer Dion Joseph, he's got basically referencing the leftist hags. And that's what they are. These women, these people are just, they're hags. Whoever's out there trying to say that this is a bad thing, he says, how does your level of indignation surpass that of individuals directly affected by actual tyranny? Given the global celebrations of Muslims and Jews uniting, shouldn't there be a sense of optimism? Can you not acknowledge the significance of Iranian and Israeli flags being flown together, even if it was facilitated by a man you despise? These people need to get over it. They are on the wrong side of this. No one has time for their bullcrap anymore.
Yeah, and ironically, the tweet about The View and Miss Hasselbeck returning.
Yes.
I think she literally shut down those hags immediately with three simple points. One being that 47 million Iranian women who now have the hope of freedom.
Yeah.
And I thought they were so pro-women and they thought women,
No, they're not.
Okay.
No.
Number two, disgusting terrorist regime has ended and the people finally have hope to create their own nation again.
Yeah.
And then of course, number three, they've cut the oil supply from Venezuela and now they've reduced it and possibly choked it from Iran to China. So internationally, this is actually a good thing because as long as China had free flowing oil and control of so much oil, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I was happy to see her back. I always liked her. I liked her from way back in the Survivor days when she was on there. But she made excellent points, and it was funny watching the body language and Whoopi kind of and Sunny Hostin sitting there just snarling. And again, people's eyes are wide open, and I think this opened up a lot of people's eyes. I think a lot of scales have fallen. There's a little bit of, red pilling, whatever the color of pilling it is you get. But to see, down in Westwood and Los Angeles and all over the country and all over the world and in Iran and all over the world, Iranians celebrating, casting off their chains from this true tyrannical dictatorship. Not these morons in the street saying, I'm protesting a dictator. Look, idiot, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing if we actually had a dictator here. You may not like Trump, but he's not a dictator.
Well, and that's the thing. I saw somebody who literally said, here's the scenario. If you were an Iranian and you went to your leadership and says, I don't like what you're doing, off with your head. And now, do you like what we're doing now? Oh, you have no words to object. Okay, good. I mean, that's tyranny, and the fact that these people don't even know the difference and want to believe that the women of Iran had some kind of freedom out there, it's ridiculous and insane.
And then you see these same people in the States donning the burqa, putting on the hijab, when the women that have lived under this, Persian women, make Persia great again. And it's really interesting. A lot of people think it's Islamic, and there's so much to it. And again, I don't want to go into it. Our national guys have really dug into this, and I want to stay in our lane here a little bit definitely talking about what, of course, happens in Portland. And then, of course, there's Ron Wyden. Oh, poor Ron. He was not given advance notice before the attack, despite his role in the Senate Oversight Committee, Select Committee on Intelligence. And I think most people's first thought was, well, you had to leave the party with the frogs. You were bopping and dancing with the frogs. Just with Maxine over there. So maybe get your priorities straight, dude. You had an interesting point on that.
I'm going to go to one of the comments in this thread that you sent over.
Uh-huh.
It says, they sent it to your Oregon address. Okay, there. That simple as that. I sit there and go, with people like that, they want to get whiny, they want to get vocal. Feed them a little misinformation, and when they spill the beans to whomever, whether it's the news or a foreign adversary, now you know who's spilling the beans, and you've rooted out one of your leaks real quick because you know. I mean, that's why you don't send him that information, because he would have tried to make sure that there was ample warning.
Yeah, and of course, there's lots of hand-wringing on the left as far as he didn't go to Congress, he didn't do all that, and again, what the what the commander in chief has authority to do. And again, we're going to stay in our lane on that. A lot of the other guys have been breaking that down really, really well. I do like, I have been out on X pretty much all weekend following all this. And there's a lot of Iranians out there tweeting, especially to the awfuls that are trying to wag their fingers at them and tell them that they shouldn't be celebrating. This one here, Iranian here. I want to thank American leftists for educating me these past few days and correcting my understanding of Iran and radical Islam. I almost trusted my own experience, my parents' trauma, and what my family in Iran endured daily instead of your wisdom. What would I have done without your tweets and TikToks? Mm-hmm. That right there.
Yeah. No, I just, the belief from these people that they are so worldly and so knowledgeable about everything, and they can tell someone who experienced it, you know, what it was really like.
Right. And all the experts in geopolitical, you know, minutiae and everything else have been out banging on their keyboards all weekend. Yeah. For me, I'm watching it. They're kind of saying, you know, I don't know that it's going to be as surgical as the last one where they went in and they knocked everything out. And now I think it's going to take a little more time. And I am hearing that there have been three U.S. soldiers killed, and that's never a good thing. But the other side of that is when men and women go into the military, that is always there. And I'm getting a little tired of sort of the left sort of infantilizing our military. They know the risk when they go in. And so while we never want to see loss of life, that is,
well, the other,
that is, you know, kind of wrapped up in the job. So I've been annoyed at that angle that the left is taking too.
Well, the other part, as we know through, you know, past experiences with regimes like this, the left loves to point out the innocent people who got killed, the women and children, the civilians that end up getting killed in these kind of actions. But the problem is that these regimes build their bunkers, their weapon stations, their military facilities underneath and around the civilians in order to use them as human shields.
Yeah.
And that's just sick and disgusting as can be.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm going to have I'm going to trust the Trump administration that they have got great people behind them. Remember when they were saying Hegseth couldn't handle all this stuff? Well, yeah. So kind of seeing how it is going to play out. I think it probably will take a little longer than most people want. We may have some boots on the ground, but I don't think we're going to go in and prop anybody up. And really, the message to Iran and to the Iranian people from the Trump administration is, okay, here, now go. Mm-hmm. Now do this. Take control. Take it back. And I think that's the right way to go about do it. And I've been absolutely jubilant for them. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's wonderful to see after 47 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 47 years.
Almost as long as Democrats have run Oregon.
Oh, my God. That. Okay. On that note, Hunter, we'll look at some sunshine to perk us back up again. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, so now sort of stateside on this. We talk about this a lot, preparedness, being aware of your surroundings. There was the attack in Austin over the weekend, and people are now talking again about sleeper cells. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something to be concerned about. Our friends over at victorygirlsblog.com, head on a swivel, sleeper cells are a very real concern. We had 4 years of the Biden administration letting anybody and their brother in, many young men of military age, indeterminate origin, not really sure where they're coming from, not necessarily looking, quote, for a better life. And we don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. So this awful thing happened in Austin. I saw one of the victims was an 18-year-old guy, and it's just, it's terrible. It's awful. I mean, it really is. And, you know, the usual sort of admonitions to stay out of big crowds. Don't stop living your life. That you don't do that, but your situational awareness should probably be ticked up a little, another level, a little bit higher right now. The old keep your head on a swivel, kind of be looking around, get your face out of your phone, get the earbuds off if you're somewhere, especially if you're in a big crowd. Notice things. You get a sense. I have had a sense when I have been in imminent danger. People's body language is off. You can sense it. You get a feeling. Don't ignore it.
There's an aura in the air, and I sit here and I go, you know. That September 11th, 2001 scenario of that never forget. Well, how did those people get into this country to pull this off? Through light immigration and just kind of blended into the community, took their flying lessons, and prepared for this day. We don't know what's occurred over the last 4 years. How many people have come in that have just blended into a community that are keeping their head down? I mean, you know, we constantly are talking about ICE. Well, ICE is collecting the ones that have a criminal record. Mm-hmm. The ones that pulled off 9/11 didn't have those criminal records.
Correct. They stay very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's definitely worth doing. I always sit here and kind of relate it to, you know, when I'm out with my young daughters and we get out of the car in a parking lot, I'm holding their hands and watching for cars and making sure. Mm-hmm. And I sit here and I go, I see so many people just wandering down a sidewalk with their head in their phone, not paying a lick of attention to what's going on around them. And it's that, you know, be vigilant, be aware, because, you know, a lot of things, bad things that occur, the opportunity to change the outcome occurs before they even begin.
Yeah.
So we need to be that vigilant and watchful of things.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of these in the past. And so I think there was another attack too, and it's escaping me where it was, but of course the one in Austin, and this, it was a Senegalese national. I'm not even going to attempt to say his name because I'd mangle it and it doesn't matter. He may have been motivated by the joint attack by Israel and the U.S. when he pulled up to Buford's backyard beer garden in Austin on Sunday wearing a, quote, property of Allah shirt and started shooting, killing two people, I think it's now three, and wounding 14 others. After he was shot dead by Austin police officers, a search warrant executed at his home revealed an Iranian flag, pictures of Iranian leaders. And this is according to sources with direct knowledge, they told CBS News. So these people are here. NCTC Director Joe Kent, he said the terrorist threat posed by Biden's failed open borders is real and persistent. Americans should know this. President Trump is using every counterterrorism capability we have to hunt narco-terrorists, dismantle criminal gangs and cartels, and restore safety across our nation. So I think it would be to keep your head buried in the sand is a fool's errand. Don't do that. But to stop living your life and, to hide in a bunker is also don't do that.
No. Just be vigilant. Be aware of your surroundings, which is the same recommendation we would give any day of the week. I mean, that to me is the thing. It's like, yeah, you can be a little more vigilant. You know, some people I would assume are probably going to avoid places where large crowds gather. But be aware of your surroundings and be smart. I mean, it's like the simplest way to say it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So again, that's over at victorygirlsblog.com. Follow them. They're great. All these ladies are awesome. I mean, a number of them, they live in Oregon and they're great. They're great. And they have great stories out there. The other thing I noticed, a little uptick in gas. It was a little higher. The impact of Operation Epic Fury on oil and beyond the battlefield. Prices for Brent crude and European natural gas have jumped. I noticed it. I was buying gas this weekend.
Yep. Gas prices have gone up. The futures market went a little haywire in the trading for crude. So, yeah, we got to be prepared for that. And unfortunately, we live in Oregon where it goes up a little bit nationally. It means we go up a lot because, darn it, we're Oregon and we need to tax ourselves to death with that.
Right. And then, of course, what's happening over there, the Strait of Hormuz. And I don't know anything. Again, you can dig so deep dive into all of this. And I don't have the bandwidth to do that. That's why I'm like, you go, Glenn Beck.
That's right. Yeah. Glenn, Todd, you guys go ahead and you take this one because, gosh darn it, we have
large staffs to do that.
And we always have those, you know, those fun local things going on too, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show. There's a couple of things in this day in history that you sent over that caught my eye. And starting with an obvious insurrectionist in 1776 when George Washington ordered the bombardment of British troops in Boston.
How dare he? How dare he?
That sounds like an insurrection to me. I don't know.
This one caught my eye, too. In 1962, the Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man premiered. I remember that episode, and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, they're so nice. These aliens are so kind, and then they're going to take us on their ship, and we're going to go visit, and all of a sudden at the end, spoiler alert, To Serve Man, it's a cookbook. It was one of the greatest Twilight Zone episodes.
There you go. Of course, the other one I'm sitting here kind of that really kind of plays a relevant role in today. In 1836, Texas declares its independence from Mexico. And I'm sitting there going, does that mean that a bunch of Texans got together and said, we're stealing this land and we're just going to, you know, leave Mexico for the United States?
Oh, my gosh. Also, and this is great, too, one of my favorite movies. I am a Ray Harryhausen fan, and all you movie geeks will know what I'm talking about, one of the greatest stop motion animators of all kind. In 1933, King Kong premiered at Radio City Music Hall. I don't know if that was Harryhausen's work, but that's stop motion animation, which I just adore. Jason mm-hmm. and the Argonauts. Gosh, what was the other one? What's the one with, I can't think of it now. Gosh darn it. Anyway, they're so good. So that was in 1933.
Yeah, crazy.
With Faye Ray, screaming Faye Ray.
And now they just AI the whole thing and create a whole.
Which I would much rather have good old fashioned kind of stilty stop motion animation, kind of like with the Wallace and Gromit, which harkens back to that from Aardman Studios. Mm-hmm. And that's claymation stop motion. I love that art form.
And of course, in our today's woke society, being Dr. Seuss Day today, March 2nd of 2026, just 5 years ago on his birthday, 6 Dr. Seuss books were retired, canceled over content problems.
People are so dumb.
Well, it's like...
And we haven't gotten... Woke is not dead. I hate to break it to you. It's not dead.
No, it's still very much powerful and sending us in the direction of our entertainment industry in particular right now, if, you know, these award shows haven't shown you that.
I guess the SAG Awards happened and nobody noticed.
What?
I guess that was last night.
Was that a bunch of old saggy white actors?
No, that's the Screen Actors Guild.
Okay. Well, I mean, SAG, I guess, fits for these people because that's kind of the miserable.
No. They're pulled so taut and Ozempiced within an inch of their life. My gosh.
All right.
Oh, it's bad. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. We're going to talk about what happened in Salem on Friday next. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, so closer to home, Salem, there was this big walkout protest skip day, basically. It really was just a skip day. I'm going to read real quick from the Salem Police Department. There was a media release on Friday the 27th at approximately 11:30 a.m. Salem police personnel, including officers from the mobile response team and traffic team, monitored a planned, quote, all-school walkout organized and sponsored by Latinos Unidos Siempre Luz, which ended at the Oregon State Capitol. These were middle and high school kids conducting walkouts. I saw some video. My understanding is there were a couple of thousand kids that were, I don't know how they got there. I guess some took buses, some walked, some drove. If you're in high school, they may have driven. My understanding is elementary did not participate in this, but middle school did.
I didn't see anything about elementary school. I will start, and of course, I know there were some parents who went ahead and checked their kids out, and maybe that's where you got a few elementary school kids. Okay. And took them down because, gosh darn it, parent activists are a real thing. And I will forego the high school students. They're at an age now where they're kind of on their own. Granted, you know, closed campus for freshmen, sophomores.
Right.
But
you would think they would know what they're protesting, my hunch, and given what I've seen is not really.
Or at least have a decent idea. They at least know that there was a purpose. At the middle school level, keeping my ear out, I kind of heard that the middle schools weren't stopping anybody from leaving. I did get a email when the schools, most of the students left campus, but they were encouraging the kids to contact their parents to get permission. And roughly citywide, about 75% of middle school students walked out of their schools. Granted, most of them had no clue why they were.
Nope.
And they just went around and wandered around in nearby neighborhoods until it was release time to go back and catch the buses home.
And didn't you say you heard was somebody from a parent, their kid called, and she said, if you can articulate why you're going out there, you can go. And of course, the kid couldn't.
Yeah, no clue. I mean, and that's the thing is when you are a middle school, high school student, the idea of everybody walking out of class for the day is fun.
And it was a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the numbers tell you a lot. And of course, there's this big claim of victory because all these kids walked out of school. But yet, you know, how many kids are in the school district? Tens of thousands. And only about 2,000 people ended up down at the state capitol for the second part of this organized event.
Right, because it started at the schools with their signs, and I'm wondering what is concerning to me. And I'm quoting again from the press release: during this interaction, a Salem patrol vehicle was briefly surrounded and water bottles were thrown toward. There was a counter protest group. The counter demonstrators fled the area. My understanding is they were chased, and then they ended up in a Safeway as demonstrators pursued them.
Oh, and that sounds like a chase. It sounds like they just didn't leave.
How fun. It's like Mom Donnie's snowball fight. That's all it was. Officers contacted involved individuals and remained in the area until the groups were separated. Now, you know all of this is on video. Whoever threw a water bottle, hun, that's assault.
Yep.
There should be charges brought against you.
Well, and the fact that they threatened and chased a group of counter-protesters, and there's the big problem. No one held accountable. Yeah. No one. And, you know, whether they're adults or children or, you know, anyone, they need to be held accountable for their actions. Otherwise, lessons don't get learned. Well, guess what? Once again, that side can get violent in front of people. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, no big deal. We're just going to hang out here to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, what the MO has been with this group has, they'll do that. And then all of a sudden they hide themselves behind the shield of they're just children.
Mm-hmm.
Which is getting real tired and stale. I'm on the Facebook post for Salem Police Department. I'm looking at the comments. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of engagement on here. And you've got the usual where you've got the ones, God bless, these kids are so mean, and I marched for Vietnam and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and then there's the other ones. And I want to read this one. I won't give names. You can go look at it. If kids want to protest, they can do it on their own time and not on my dime, because we're taxpayers. We're paying for this. Mm-hmm. A working adult would have to take a vacation day or non-paid time off. This is teaching kids that they can do what they want, whenever they want, without consequences. An adult that commits a criminal act while, quote, protesting is also subject to consequences of their actions. Kids should be treated no differently. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, and that's the problem is we want to call them children when they might have consequences for these kind of behaviors. But, you know, when it's okay to manipulate them and get them to walk out of school for reasons they don't understand, well, that's okay. That's okay with you. So manipulating children is okay, but holding them accountable is not. That's virtually the message I've received.
Right. And they are being manipulated. They're being fed a line, an agenda, and a point of view from Luce, frankly, because that's who organized this. And so it'd be interesting. You said 75%. So there's 25% who, number one, a lot of parents, I think, were proactive and just kept their kids home. Mm-hmm. And that was all. We talked about that last week. And that's my thought. Don't make your kids fight these battles. Don't put them in the position to have to. Because I remember when I was a kid, if you have to do something that you're unpopular, mom and dad are making me do it. It's like, blame me.
Yep.
I'll take the heat for that. You don't have to deal with that. And so it'll be interesting to hear what happened to the kids who did stay behind and what's happening in school. And another person commented, this right here is why we're 48 out of 50 states. What exactly was the lesson that was taught on Friday?
No, there's no lesson taught on Friday. It virtually do what you want, walk out, you know. And that's the other thing is these are children. Now, bored children, the other thing I question a little bit is this. So school district wide, we have these bags that their cell phones all go into. And at the end of the day, they have to line up at the key and virtually unlock these bags to take their phones out. Was that key station made available to them to walk out middle of the day? Did they just not enforce them putting their phones into bags? I mean, you're looking at, you know, hundreds of kids wandering through neighborhoods, and you can guarantee that a portion of them just got up to no good and, you know, smoking cigarettes behind the playground kind of mentality, because guess what? They're bored. Why go back to class when no one else is? But yet I find it funny that they made it back in time to catch the school buses home.
Right. It was a skip day.
That's all it was.
Mm-hmm. All it was. And it got some media.
Yep.
For the activist groups.
So,
it got
some
talking points. It got a claim of victory, which, okay, what did you actually win? I don't know.
Well, and through this article, you can tell there was a few times that the police had to come out and corral them back onto the sidewalks because there was some traffic blocking going on. So,
and that's the other thing. I don't have young children anymore. If I had young children in this district and they were just let loose out there, you know, and the very legalese worded email that came from the district to make sure that they were covered, and they were, the language was. Mm-hmm. But again, at what point, you know, you've got these kids wandering out there getting all hyped up. Of course, the excitement level, it's cool, it's fun, look at us, we're so edgy.
Yeah.
And we're running around. And again, it's like the when the one woman in Minneapolis was shot because of what she was doing. And the partner was like, I can't believe they used real bullets. These people are all LARPing. They don't get that there are and that's live action role play, that there are actual consequences to this kind of stuff. Real world consequences. It's not a game.
Yeah, and that's the point that just you can just tell fully escapes them, that the idea that they're doing what they deem is the right and just thing, and there should never be consequences if they're behaving however bad they want. I mean, watching some of these videos of these women literally recklessly driving to get in front of an ICE car, and I'm sitting there going, that right there is grounds enough for the police to at least remove her from the vehicle and tow her car away. But yet they're allowed to do this and record the whole thing and then post it out there for the world to see and give the impression that if you truly believe you're doing the right thing, consequences don't exist.
Yeah. So I guess that was the lesson that was taught. And that's not going to bode well for these kids when they get out into the real world, because all of a sudden consequences are going to come up and bite them in the butt.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be a good thing. There's a comment on here, and I can't tell if it's satire or not. So thankful for our brave teachers and educators ensuring that our children have the correct political views. I can't tell if that's satire or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just, to me, that's the scenario. And I understand that for teachers and staff, in a lot of ways, the direction coming down from the top leaves them very handcuffed in the things they can do.
Yes.
But at the same time, presenting the message that if you don't truly understand why you're doing this, then it's probably not worth doing, and putting yourself at risk and things like that needs to be better messaging.
Yeah, I am not impressed with how the district frankly handled this. I'm just thinking back even, you know, one or two decades ago, this wouldn't have been allowed. It wouldn't have been allowed, and it wouldn't have been, we're going to, you know, cooperate with this activist group that's going to make it just, I can't see it even happening. And again, sure, the indoctrination has been going on for a long time, even back in the day when we were back there, obviously it's ramped up. But it's, when you look at where we rank nationwide and all important metrics, this is an embarrassment, but it's happening all over the place. I mean, you're seeing it in red states and blue states, you're seeing it in blue cities. Now you're seeing it all over, actually, looking at the news. There's a lot of places. It seems to be it's like the cool du jour right now. Yeah. Cool thing of the day. Well, the cool thing of the day.
And that's the thing.
We don't need to know what it means, but it's cool.
The kids love to go out there and do what they see on social media and get their own social media clout behind it. Yeah. And it's why, you know, these kids were probably texting back and forth throughout the day without the excitement of being able to just walk out of school. That was the highlight right there.
Yeah.
And 40 years from now, 50 years from now, you know, when there's the next round of protests, they're going to be able to sit there and say, I walked out of school on skip day two.
Gee, Grandpa, why? I don't know. I don't have any idea, but man, it was fun, and I got out of third period math.
I didn't have to take the test. Woohoo!
Fight the man! Fight the man! All right. Anyway, yeah, Salem PD did his thing. I'm glad they put that out there. As far as I'm concerned, anyone throwing water bottles, though, should have been arrested.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
That's just holding people to a standard. How dare you do such a thing?
I'm such a dinosaur. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Good news. There's some cool things that are happening as well. I got a press release this morning from the Oregon State Elks Association. They are proud to announce a total donation. They donated $27,000 to Oregon's three recovery high schools, $9,000 to each one, and one right here in Salem, the Discovery Academy in Salem, the Harmony Academy in Lake Oswego, and then the Rivercrest Academy in Portland. So recovery high schools are a school of choice model designed to help students maintain sobriety while continuing their education in a structured, supportive setting. So I thought this was very cool. It was raised through a series of statewide events and individual contributions from Elks members. Our very own Mike Gallagher is an Elk, and he was telling me about this as well. So this is a cool thing. This is a good community stuff. There's so many people that are so giving and donating, and the Elks, of course, are one of those great groups. So kudos to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we talk about at-risk children, these are some of the most at-risk you will ever find, and finding ways for them to get that high school education and maintain sobriety and a quality lifestyle is so important. So kudos.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting to see, because the number of the sort of the alcoholism and alcohol consumption has really dropped way down in this newest generation. I don't know whether they're using like pot gummies or something. I don't know. But the alcohol has gone down, but so has teen sex. So is all kinds of stuff. It's like all the stuff that kind of, you know, in high school, we're going, you know, party at the Moon Tower, man. And you go out and go to a kegger. Uh-huh. And we do all that. They're just not doing that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I always go back to, you know, especially here in Oregon, we have become so lenient legalizing pot, legalizing all hard drugs, to the point where, and we brought it up numerous times when, you know, 110 or whatever was passed, that as a young person, you get in a lot more trouble for having alcohol than you would for having fentanyl.
Yeah.
Under
Not
Oregon
weird.
Law. Yeah. So that could play a role in it. But I think the legalization of pot has made a big difference. And then, of course, that always leads to, you know, well, I can't get pot. My supplier's not around. So let's try something different.
Well, and I know, you know, just not, well, not personally, but today's pot is not your grandpa's pot from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's a lot of synth stuff going on in it. It is like, woo, wicked stuff. So it's kind of crazy. Okay. Also cool happening. If you want to wake up, set your alarm, 3 a.m., there is you can catch a blood moon. There's a planet conjunction. There's a eclipse. I got a Fox weather story out here. The blood moon will headline the start of March's celestial wonder. So it's coming in like a lamb, and then it's going to give us a huge, amazing celestial show tonight.
Mm-hmm. If you're up at 3 a.m.
Well, I think the mustache may do that. I think he may, if you've got, you know, clear skies. So the blood moon is overnight tonight. Then there is, there's a Venus and Saturn conjunction.
Okay.
Junction. That is March 8th. The spring equinox, of course, the official start of spring is March 20th. Today's kind of like the meteorological, blah, 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 say that five times fast after a drink. and then there's moon near Pollux on the 27th. So there's all kinds of stuff. This is over at foxweather.com. Lots of stuff happening in the heavenly bodies.
Well, and don't forget that a week from yesterday, we get to wake up an hour shorter, you know, because that still is a thing.
That's next Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Yep.
At 2 a.m.
When we get to spring forward. Yep. So we lose that precious hour, which in the radio biz becomes very complicated.
Oh, because you got to deal with all that. Are you going to have to set an alarm and do that at 2 a.m.?
Not me, but somebody that works here will.
Does he know that yet?
I'm sure that is. I'm sure that's on his schedule.
It's part of the job. So we talked earlier about what if you held an award show and nobody cared and nobody showed up. The SAG Awards were last night. I don't have any patience for any of these award shows. I used to be like, I used to love to watch the clothes. I love the Grammys. I wanted to be a rock star when I was 15. But the SAG Awards were last night. But just some of the pictures, and I just want to talk about this, you know, as a mature woman who is, you know, just letting it all go, however God's going to let it go. The amount of stretching, pulling, sucking out of fat and Ozempic and facelifts and everything is startling.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary. There's a few celebrities out there that, looking at their pictures, you don't recognize them.
The big one, obviously, Kelly Osbourne, mm-hmm. who I always thought had an absolutely adorable face.
Yeah.
I thought she was just cute as a bug. She had those chubby little, I have the same thing. I've got more full cheeks, little chubby cheeks. They make you look younger when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
She's now had, it looks like the buckle fat taken out of them. She looks gaunt. And my heart breaks for her because we just lost Ozzy. And of course, that's her father.
Yep.
Sharon Osbourne looks, they look skeletal. Demi Moore. What? Demi is my age.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jim Carrey.
Okay, Jim Carrey. I don't know what he's had done. Clearly Botox. He's had a facelift. People kept thinking he's a clone. It's not really him. There was some influencer out there trying to say that I'm playing him. He does makeup. And a lot of those masks are very realistic. I guess he was in France accepting some kind of an award that looked like a piece of, you know, like a block of Velveeta that had been left out in the sun. It was a very weird looking award. And he gave his speech in French, and it was lovely. He has a great accent, and he seemed very lovely. And he's kind of shifted from kind of angry Jim Carrey who hates Trump and does all this weird artwork to back to sort of being more of a man of grace and poise. But he looked like a completely different person, except you can tell it is still him.
Yeah, and that's, I just sit there and go, when you see what the Hollywood lifestyle does to people, we were talking about earlier during the break, it's like, you know, as a young parent, you have their kid and they're the most adorable thing in the
they're
world.
Adorable.
And you're like, wouldn't they be an amazing child actor? You know, they talked so early. I mean, I'm looking at my 2-year-old literally going with full sentences and comprehension. I'm just going, they would just be the most fun thing in the world. And then when you realize 20 years later, what you see from the people that you grew up idolizing and thinking they were the best thing, how they look and the mental capacity. I'm just going, it's stay out of there.
And it's the extreme cases and then just the sort of the destruction. And I know I probably talked about, when my son was little, we tried to get into it. We had one gig up in Portland and it went really bad because I'm like, you've made him wait 3 hours and he's 2. Of course he's tired. We never did it again. And I thank God every day that did not work out. But you look at, you know, the mental illness, and I think about, you know, Justin Bieber and Amanda Bynes and all these kids that have been absolutely, you know, Corey Feldman, the stories have been legion and they're out there everywhere. And of course, with all the Epstein stuff coming out, but then again, you know, you've got these people, frankly, again, they threw an award show. Nobody cares. I don't know why these celebrities are doing all this. Nobody cares. Nobody is going to try to look like you. Nobody cares what you look like. Stop doing it. Go live your life and age gracefully. Like Rachel Ward. Remember Rachel Ward from the Thornbirds? Absolutely beautiful. She's aging. She looks amazing. She looks her age.
Well, I mean, Pamela Anderson.
Yes.
You know, of course, that created a big uproar because wait a second. This isn't the Pamela Anderson from Baywatch. This is an older lady.
Where are the eyelashes?
Yeah. Where's the fake breasts? Where's this? Where's that? I'm just kind of going, you know, I will give all the kudos in the world for Pamela Anderson because she lived the rock star lifestyle for a period of time. And to recognize that there's nothing beneficial for her dismantling herself to try and still look like she's 21.
Especially when you're in your late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. What are you doing it for?
Yeah. Well, and I'm just sitting there going, looking at some of these faces, I'm like, I wouldn't want to see you in a movie or TV any longer. You would be frightening to the next generation.
And it doesn't look real. And mm-hmm. and the buccal fat removal is such an odd trend. And you have to wonder what is beneath it all. It's just, it's kind of crazy. And so I'm just glad that never worked out for us back in the day. And I just think it's okay to age, and it's okay to age gracefully. I actually went to a bridal, a baby shower for my daughter-in-law, and I put makeup on for like the first time in forever. And it was like, oh, and now I got to go take it all off.
That's right. Now it just becomes an inconvenience.
I was like, oh, I'm so glad. I don't worry about it anymore. It's kind of freeing, actually.
Yeah. And being able to sit there and say, yeah, I'm at this age and I look like I'm at that age, but I'm okay with it.
I'm not trying to be 24. I was 24 once.
Well, and to me, that's the thing. It's as these Hollywood actors are doing this kind of thing, I'm like, who are you trying to impress?
That's the question.
I mean, are you looking at...
Because we're not impressed.
Are you looking at a role on like Scream 7? I mean, is that what you're gunning for? You know, the new Scream movie?
Yeah. It's like, you're not going to be the young, you know, the hot person. You're going to be the mom or the grandma. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for us today. Thanks for letting us rant a little bit about on that. We'll see you tomorrow. Go out and enjoy the day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.